they wouldn't have gone to Egypt. They then in turn would not have been, as Joseph had been before them, enslaved by the Egyptians. You see, the brother sold Joseph, but in time all the family of Jacob was enslaved too. That also is a lesson. In fact, there are plot upon plot upon plot. Once we see that this so-called Old Testament is as new as this morning, then, finding themselves in Egypt as slaves, Yahweh sent them a deliverer. No Joseph and no slavery among the Egyptians. There would not have been a need for a Moses. No Moses, there would have been no deliverance. No deliverance, there would have been no Exodus. No Exodus, there would have been no Sinai, which is God's great covenant. I have delivered you from the slavery of the Egyptians. Now I want you, as your deliverer, to serve me. There would have been no promised land. And we could go on and on and on. You see how this Old Testament is a paradigm for now. All of this then points up to the fact that God wants the whole of the Scriptures to remain as a permanent record. That's why he made sure it was in writing of God's revelation to the whole human race. But besides being a unitary revelation, this biblical God speaking to us is not only to be for our instruction, but our inspiration. Let's first of all make some very simple observations. No single area of man's religious possession, and I'm speaking of the human race, certainly no single aspect of the Christian religion has been more carefully scrutinized, more widely publicized, and more studiously analyzed than the Bible. This is great. It is good. But it can also create a problem. A safe estimate is that there have been, especially in recent decades, 10 times, this is a very safe calculation, 10 times as many books and monographs, and that means articles, written on the written Word of God, as on all other phases of the Christian religion put together. Surely, at least 10 times as much written about the Bible is about everything else in Christianity put together. Roman Catholicism, with its renewed emphasis on the Bible, which, by the way, antedates the Vatican Council by generations, Roman Catholicism has become part of this learned preoccupation. as one who has been teaching sacred scripture, I can assure you, it is very learned preoccupation. All to the good. But a caution must be made. It is quite possible to read the scriptures, as we do in so many ways, in such a way as to get lost, and some have literally got lost, in the forest of erudition and fail to see the inner spirit of the Bible. There is, after all, such a thing as what I call biblicism, an overemphasis on biblical structure, on historical places, dates, events, and names, on linguistic exegesis, until your head begins to ache and you put the Bible aside as a source of educated anxiety. One result then can be that those who use the scriptures a lot, like priests and religious, will be misled by the erudite, learned side of the Bible and miss the main reason why God gave us the Bible, not only for the learned and educated, but indeed especially for the simple of heart. In a word, He has given it to us as our inspiration. We ask then, and with this we close, how do instruction and inspiration differ in our use of the Bible? I do not wish to divorce the two, as though the Bible should not be and ought not to remain a source of our instruction, but especially in our using it in our prayers, in the divine office, in hearing the Word of God at Mass, in reading the Word of God in our spiritual reading. It should mainly be a source of our inspiration. How do the two differ? First of all, instruction is mainly directed to the mind, whereas inspiration is principally directed to the will. Instruction seeks to enlighten. Inspiration seeks to motivate. Instruction is concerned to inform. Inspiration is concerned to form. Why do I bring this up, which may already sound too learned for what should be an inspirational conference? I say this because no matter what we use here, the inspired Word of God, isn't it true we find what we are looking for? And if our mindset in using the scriptures is to find there instruction for the mind, we shall there is much to enlighten us. But if along with that, and especially beyond that, we look to be inspired, to be moved, to be inflamed, we'll find that too. We then ask, how are the Scriptures a source of profound inspiration? They are, or should be, and God intends them to be, our inspired motivation, particularly in three ways. It is mainly in the Scriptures that we learn why God put us into this world. He put us into this world that we might possess Him in the next. That is the eschaton, the end, the purpose, the goal of all biblical motivation. He made us for Himself. In the Scriptures we learn what we are to do to reach this goal of our destiny. What is it? It is to observe the covenant. If there is one biblical word, it is covenant. What is covenant? A contract that God makes with His chosen ones. I have made you for Myself, and you will reach Me, provided in this world you serve and love Me. But finally, in the Scriptures we also learn and are thereby motivated how we are to use the world in which we live, that we have been given one great gift by God, that we have been gifted with our liberty, that we might choose among the many creatures which envelop us like the atmosphere, and choose wisely those which under God's gracious inspiration we know will lead us to our destiny, and we are to sacrifice, which is another word for not use, give up, creatures that may be ever so pleasant. This is the biblical how, from Genesis to the Apocalypse, that we are to choose those things which, enlightened by grace, we see will lead us to God, even though betimes they are painful. And we are to give up, sacrifice other creatures, if they would not lead us to God, no matter how pleasant. It is then up to us, having been both instructed and inspired by God's revealed word, to do what God wants His chosen ones that's us, to do, to choose what will lead us to Him, even though the choice may mean, as it often does mean, the sacrifice of the most pleasant creature in our lives, namely ourselves, conditioned on that choice, God will be true to His inspired word, and He will then bring us to that destiny which the Scriptures promise us will be ours, where there will no longer be, as there surely is now, sorrow and suffering, but only joy and peace that no one will ever take from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.